Hello.
Hi.
Hello, darling.
I'm fired up.
You're fired up.
Fired up.
Have you had a day?
I've had a day.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a week. And I've had a month.
I've had a fucking life.
I've been sending you a lot of fired up voice notes. And
just a tad.
One of the ones I sent you this week. Okay. Let me preface this. You and I were close.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We tell each other everything.
Yeah. I think so. Like 99.9% of things.
I'm telling you stuff that happened at work. Yep. I'm telling you stuff that happened with men. You know all aspects of my life, including that I spent $11.99 on a pack of crackers the other day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did the math for you and yelled at you. This is with every $2 bite. Yeah.
Okay. Now that we've established our situation between us two, I want to put a hypothetical situation here.
Okay.
You and I could hypothetically be working for the same company.
Yep.
I could be a VP at, let's say, just for argument's sake, at a large financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be the CEO there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no stopping us from being best buddies.
Yeah.
In our private time.
That's true.
Now, who's to say that part of us being best buddies isn't us also talking about work outside of work,
mm-hmm.
all our projects, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I came across this article this week, and I know this is a rule that has been established a very long time ago, but I just remembered that it was a rule because this article came out about a female VP, or she was had a very high CFO. Up role in a financial institution, yeah. and she was fired because she was caught dating someone in a very high up position at the same financial institution. And look, I get that it's a rule, okay?
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
But the reason I introed this way
mm-hmm.
is because this is where my mind goes when I read that. I understand why it is a rule. I understand mm-hmm. that they don't want people to be dating each other and disclosing information about the workplace. And like, they're making the assumption, right? When you are very close with someone privately, you're going to be exchanging information that you shouldn't yeah. be exchanging. But I don't understand why that rule was established just for romantic partners. What about best friends? So why? What? How? How? Yeah. Why? Why has this gone on for so long? It just got me so frustrated. I'm like, I don't understand.
I love it.
Okay.
So your problem is, and folks, if you're wondering what the concept today is, the word for this podcast is rules. Okay. So just before we get into breaking that concept apart, what is your issue is the fact that if you're in a romantic relationship, it's a problem. But if you're in a platonic relationship, it's not a problem. Is that your?
Yes. I'm okay. trying to understand why the rule was created.
But this,
and if my assumption is correct,
yeah.
then why was it created just for romantic partners? Did anyone think about outside of that?
So so perhaps I'm wrong, but when I read the article, there's a few things, right? So first you have to disclose it. You have to disclose your relationships.
Okay, hold on. I want to let you yeah. continue.
Yeah.
But right off the bat,
yeah.
why does a romantic partner have to disclose their relationship and not best friends? To me,
you're
it's
right.
the same thing. So,
no, you're right. You're right. So let's say the disclosure part needs to be challenged.
Okay.
I agree with you on that because I think I would actually argue that best friends are closer in terms of like what they share and what they disclose. And I mean, how many times do people tell me, do not tell this to anyone? But I'm like, you know, that doesn't apply to my bestie, right?
Yeah.
Like, but then I would never tell anyone your shit ever.
Yeah.
Like it goes to the grave with me, but yeah. it doesn't work the other way around.
We're the best HR out there. A bestie friendship is the best HR relationship.
But if the friendship and if the, whether it's a romantic or platonic, whatever, if the relationship is causing you to make rash decisions, or if it's biasly impacting pay raises or promotions, then we have an issue. And I believe the grounds of why this financial institution fired the CFO was based on that. And it was specifically, there were countless of raises that were unwarranted and promotions that they did not believe was deserved. And so this is where the challenge comes in.
Yes, but again, why is the assumption that...
Well, they'll do their due diligence. Legal.
No, but why is the assumption that you only act biasly when under the influence of a romantic connection? No, and not under the...
I think even if they weren't in a romantic relationship, if they investigated, even if it was a friendship, and if the investigation led to like someone being promoted.
That I understand. Yeah, and but I think, it's still a rule. It's still a rule that you can't date in the workplace.
Well, you can. You just have to disclose it.
Okay.
Because like people do it all the time. CEOs date whoever they want. CFOs date whoever they want. Managers date other managers. It happens. You just have to disclose it.
Okay. So then I guess what I'm contesting is the disclosure.
Is a disclosure.
Because
part.
If you, why?
Yeah.
Why that and not a bestie?
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you. And so, you know, when we were talking about this offline, I said rules are made and created for minority, but unfortunately it impacts a majority. Rules are not there for people who stay on track and who follow the course and who have consciences and morals and values and ethics. Rules aren't created for those people. Rules are created for the people who are like, I'm going to sway a little bit just to see what happens. Or my moral compass isn't exactly correct. Rules are created for people like that. Those are generally the minority. But unfortunately, what happens is it impacts the majority, which is the most of us are good. Well, I don't want to use that word good. I hate that word good. But most of us have some kind of moral compass, I think.
So do you think that the rules need to be reassessed in this case, and you also need to disclose if you're besties? Because relationships have evolved. And as you said in the beginning, we're almost closer than we would be with our own romantic partner. And I think that is the case for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So I just think that now that we kind of know more, we're enlightened to more social dynamics, I think that if it's going to be a rule, then it should be a fair rule, and it should encompass more than just romantic partners.
I agree. I don't know if you've kind of been in the job market a little bit recently. Some of the applications do have that as a question. They say, do you have any relatives or friends or anyone in a close relationship?
Yeah, in stocks and trading, I know it does extend past romantic partners.
Yeah,
for sure.
But even the big tech companies now, they'll say like, do you know anyone working at the company? What's your relationship with
them?
You could argue that could be done because they want to favor your application. It could also be done for HR to assess what your relationship is. But I think when it comes to relationships in general, whether they're platonic or romantic, it goes by a case-by-case basis. And I remember when I was managing my team, I hired a husband and wife who ended up getting a divorce. But against all my judgment, I hired a husband and wife. It went okay until it didn't. And I remember whoever I said this to, they were like, do not hire people who are like that close. I didn't want to be biased against the relationship, because if two people possess the skills I'm looking for and I need to make the company successful, then that's what I have to do. And I take it on me as the owner and like the CEO and managing partner to manage that relationship to the best I can, manage the team and the, you know, the, I always say when you're in like higher roles, it's just babysitting. And that's what it is. So my rules didn't apply to everyone. Rules can't apply to everyone exactly the same. I had people who needed to have structure. I also had people who didn't need structure at all. So some of them had no schedule. They literally could work 5 hours or 10 hours or 50 hours. I did not care. But then other people, I wanted them there at 9 because they didn't know how to follow rules. Mm. Just as, you know, as you just said, do our policies need to change? So I think this is a good segue to the history of rules. The concept of it dates all the way back to ancient civilization. The
Mesothelioma? No. Do you guys remember that commercial? Actually, no, I think it's still airing. If you're home anytime in the afternoon from work and watching cable TV, like, you know, the major networks, they always have those commercials for, do you have mesothelioma? Contact. It's like a, I don't even know what it is.
I'm never going to be able to say this.
I think it's a disease you get if there's like mold in your house or something.
Oh my
gosh. Don't quote me on that. I don't know. I've only watched the commercial like 300 times.
So it's Mesopotamia.
Okay.
Egypt used codes of law for order. Rulers used codes of law to maintain order and resolve disputes.
Yeah, I think this is a good distinction because this is a conversation about rules, not laws.
Yeah, exactly. The distinction is essentially back then, the way it was created was a law. These are your set of guidelines, your policies. They it provides structure and order to their society.
Right. And in today's society, they can be created by corporations. And you're kind of legally bound to the corporation. But it's not like you're going to be sent to jail if you didn't disclose your relationship. You're just fired if you didn't disclose your relationship.
Well, no. Read your contracts.
Oh, okay.
Folks, read your contracts. Right. Because
depending on where you work,
they can come after you financially. And there could also be legal
ramifications.
Ramifications against it. I remember when I wrote our employee contracts, I definitely had a clause in there for that.
Okay.
So yeah. Y'all go back and read your contracts. But to your point, rules evolved, right? So then we had from ancient civilization, we went to the Middle Ages, where the legal system was more based on religious principles, like the canon law and things like that, which is interesting because this is why a lot of people say religious is just a form of control and it was just, you know, it was just created.
That's actually fucking wild to think about, that some laws have been established based off of religion. I know it's, I know we all know that, but like when you actually sit down to think about that, that's actually wild.
It's wild. When you really break it down, you start thinking, was it created for simply controlling?
I'm laughing here because I grew up religious. Mm-hmm. I'm not anti-Christ. I'm not that far the other way. I'm not really religious anymore. Mm-hmm. But I do view the Bible and a lot of the stories that have come out of those days as just that, stories. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm laughing, because it's fucking wild that laws have been created out of literal stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Made up stories.
Yeah.
It to some people, they were made up.
Some people believe it's fully made up, right?
Yeah.
Atheists and stuff, they fully don't believe that.
Burning bush.
Yeah.
Walking on water. Like, you know, come on, guys.
To each his own. I'm like you. I actually didn't grow up religious at all. My parents were very, very simple with the way they raised us. And they said, forget all the religions. They're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
The basic concept of religion is be a good person, don't cheat, don't lie, help out when you can, give charity, give back, don't take advantage of people, and that's all it is.
Can you do the, do you know how to do the in the name of the Father and the Son? Would you even know how to do that? There you go. Yeah. Everyone goes. Basic people know.
I also dated Orthodox.
That's so that's ingrained in you.
Tons of I don't know if you have experience with Greek Orthodox, but it's a step up.
Yeah,
it's a whole thing.
Not making fun of religion, it's just
Have fun here. Don't come at it, we're gonna get canceled in like 2.5 seconds. So we had our ancient civilization, from there we went to the Middle Ages, and from there the rules evolved to modern times, and the legal system now reflects a more democratic, based on more democratic principles of justice and equality. So to your point, rules do change. It still goes back to one thing though. Are rules created to control us?
So who is controlling us?
So who creates rules? So if we're thinking of our governments, actually, let's delete all of that. The minute you're born, you're given a set of rules in your household, right? So rules start from the very beginning when you first take your breath.
You're trying to raise your children in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Yeah.
But from the rules you were taught.
Yes.
Which is funny. Right?
Yeah.
And then, so if we're thinking top down, the government and the policies trickle down into the way you live your life. The way you live your life is also a representation of the way you work. And so corporations also have rules and policies and values that they have to live by, right? Their public image. We worked for a company a few years ago and we both worked for that company. Did you ever get the pitch of you represent this company even when you're not here?
Yeah.
And so the way you behave outside is a reflection of this corporation. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I was out of there.
I was like, what are you talking about? But I was like, stop trying to force me to drink the Kool-Aid. Just tell me what the targets and I'll do it
yes,
for you.
Yes, exactly.
But stop BSing.
Yes.
Right?
That's what people want nowadays, especially this generation coming up more than ever.
Yeah.
They do not appreciate BS
no.
in any, and I don't blame them. Why do we have to play this game? Mm-hmm. I was actually on a call today where people were trying to pitch me product of theirs. Mm-hmm. And I was so casual about it, but I was really into the product. I was trying to like loosen them up, but they wouldn't deviate from their script. And I'm like, guys, come on, just like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Like it was just, you know, but they had this like script and you know, I think they were just new. But I don't.
They need some presentation skills.
Yeah, I just think that there's you can get so much further with being genuine.
Yeah, and I think the further you get in your career and in life, you're more understanding and aware of that. Mm-hmm. You realize that there's room for your identity in everything you do. There's room for being genuine in everything you do, whether you're running an IT business or whether you're, you know, admin and you're writing an email. Like, you can be yourself. You should be able to be yourself. Respectfully, right? You're not supposed to be rude and unkind and hurt others, but you should be able to be a candid version of yourself without filters, without crap.
The one good thing that I can see social media is doing nowadays is celebrating those who
authenticity.
Are being authentic, especially in the workplace. Like, you know, you always see those videos of like, look at this guy at his job.
I still think there's space for professionalism. Now, professionalism, I think, has evolved, has changed, because it doesn't mean you're this robot anymore. I think most industries they're a little bit more laid back. I come from a sales background. My go-to way of connecting with people is being authentic.
Yeah, I'm the exact same way. And I just find that some companies, they don't value that. And that's fine. But I don't like being baited into a position where you think that they're going to accept your transparency, but then they try to control you. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate that. That's a frustrating position to be in.
Do you think that's kind of set by companies who do have HR? The culture and the policies are kind of set by HR?
I see that kind of workplace toxicity the same way I view getting into a toxic relationship. Mm-hmm. It's similar. It's a similar path. The opposing party.
Right.
So in the workplace, it's the people that are hiring you. And then in dating, it's the person you're dating. That person is playing the game at first, right? They're trying to be their best selves.
The candidate?
Yeah.
Or
no, the
HR.
HR. Oh, HR is trying to present themselves as, and your bosses are trying to present themselves as like very flexible and inviting.
Right.
And
see, I think both parties are.
It's so, and same with the guy candidate. You're dating, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the game continues. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, no, we don't actually, no, we don't do it that way. Like mm-hmm. we're doing it. And mm-hmm. that's how you get duped in relationships as well. And that's what's really frustrating mm-hmm. for me in all aspects of life, anywhere I go. And that's what can really get me down, because I just feel like, well, hey, I showed up authentically.
Where Come were on. You? Yeah. I think a lot of people miss red flags when it comes to when they're getting hired by a company. I think a lot of people miss it because you're either desperate to get the job mm-hmm. or you really, really want to work for that company, whatever it is. It's the same thing as you just said. It's the same thing with dating. It's you got blinders on and you're a little bit foggy in your vision. Everything is kind of, you got your rose colored glasses on. When it comes to dating, we have all been provided a set of like red flags or discussed openly now, right? Like, okay, if a guy is like this, this is a red flag, or like be aware of it, or just through our dating experience, we've learned what our red flags are. Everyone's red flag is different, by the way, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas think about how little exposure or experience we have with the hiring process.
So
like, you're imagine more easily duped. Your entire life, you've only been on 5 dates.
Yeah.
Which is like 5 hiring processes, 5 different careers. Your entire life, you've only dated these 5 guys. And maybe it's a one-time date. Maybe it's 5 dates because it's a 5-round interview, whatever. Mm-hmm. We just haven't learned to pick up certain red flags from HR and from corporations.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because I remember when I was apartment hunting, it took me a good 2 to 3 weeks to catch on to all of the people that were trying to mislead you in their mm-hmm. postings, like all the fake postings and all that stuff. And then once I got the hook of it, I was like, okay, yeah, that's a fake posting. That's a fake. But I definitely couldn't identify that from the start. Yeah. It took me some practice to get
and
into
And think
that.
About how many posts you were going through. If you have a scheduled interview at 10 a.m. and they're 10:05 and they're late and they still haven't sent you an email, but then they show up and everything is fine. There's a red flag. Mm-hmm. If they schedule an interview after work hours, that's mentioned in the job. That's a red flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
If your work hours are from your role or your job is from Monday to Friday and they say, hey, can you have a Saturday interview?
Red flag.
If your role is remote, but they want your interview to be in person and they don't go out of their way to be like, we know the role is remote, but for the first interview, we just like to have a face-to-face contact, but the remainder of the process will be remote. If they haven't communicated that, red flag.
So what I'm seeing here is a trend. This conversation is about rules. And I'm seeing that governing bodies, including corporations, are allowed to create rules to control us. But what's starting to be a little bit more apparent throughout time is that the middle class needs to hold these corporations more accountable, and they need to have, we need to flip the script on them, and they, some rules need to be established for them from us. And I think that's what's happening culturally in our society. People are starting to stand up for themselves individually. Mm-hmm. But I think in order to really turn the tables, a little bit of a revolution has to take place to say, hey now, you guys have been trying to control us with these backwards rules for so long, aka my bestie's allowed to be hired.
I still think human beings still require a set of guidelines. It's like the minute you say fuck the rules, chaos will happen.
Right.
It will happen.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing when you have children who aren't managed. I know it's going to sound bad. I might going to get backlash for this, but you still have to manage people. That's why it's called management leadership. There's a reason why those words are in place. It doesn't mean control. you're not a good mom, or you're not a good dad, you're not a good CEO, you're not a good boss because you control people. It's you're good because you're a good leader, you're a good role model, you're a good man. So people still need a set of guidelines, a set of principles, a set of structure to a certain point, especially if you're running a company.
Okay, but what if we've come to a time in history mm-hmm. where there is too many people in leadership positions and management positions?
There won't be.
That should not be in those positions.
Oh,
if and it, there's right. too many parents that should not be parents. And we're just letting things slide too much because the people that are able to create the rules shouldn't be the ones made out to create rules.
Yeah, but that's why you have, I think that's a little bit more because you're in a certain industry, you say that. If you venture into some other industries, you'll see that that's not the case.
Yeah, but if a we're lot talking of about really, parents.
Yeah, like but about, yeah. So if we're talking about the parents, there's a lot of younger parents that are starting to have kids now who are changing the way they're parenting.
Yes.
There's so many companies right now that are being led properly.
So the way the public has to support is to support the right companies. That's how that's how we can positively influence the outcome. Instead of a revolution, we just have to choose the right institutions to support.
Or just be part of it. If I don't like the way my company is run and I think I can manage a team, open up your own company and run a smaller version of it and run it the way you want. I'm not sat here being like, oh, I hate my bosses because I don't have a boss. If you feel like you can do something better, and I'm not saying just complaining, because there's a lot of us out there as well who just complain a lot. And it's like, well, I get it. I get you don't want to come to work, but are you also producing? Are you also doing your job? And if that's yes, if you're answering those, yes, yes, I'm a producer, I'm effective, I'm a hard worker, but I just don't like the direction of this corporation. You don't have to be there.
Mm-hmm. I often think about this guy who created this hanger, an innovative hanger. It collapses your pants. It holds your pants and then the hanger collapses in itself.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I'm pretty sure when I saw his story, he said he only spent like, I don't know, like a grand on the patent and all that stuff. I mean, I could be misquoting this, but I'm pretty sure I was like, this seems like an achievable mm-hmm. endeavor. I do sympathize, whatever the correct word is, with people who are like, well, I can't just, because I don't have money for a startup. Yeah. I don't have money to just not work. And I'm exhausted by the end of my yeah. three jobs, the end of the day. I don't have time to think about yeah. a hanger
yeah.
and to innovate something like that. I get that. But mm-hmm. yes, to your point, like there is always a way to stepstone your way into something different.
Yeah.
I want to know where that hanger guy is now. Is he trying to sell them?
We should actually Google it. See where yeah. he is. Rules are there to manage the minority, but unfortunately impacts the majority. So if you feel like it's creating an obstacle for you, get creative. Mm-hmm. I used to work for a company who wanted me at work for 8 a.m. My brain does not function before 10 a.m. So how was I able to get a corporation, a global corporation, to leave me alone when it comes to my time? Because it happened. Mm-hmm. I surpassed my targets. I found a way to say, listen, I understand this is what you want. I understand this is a policy, but I'm giving you this back. So let's work here a bit. Everything is negotiable. You know how I feel about this. Yeah. So yeah, even rules are made to be broken. But do it properly, guys. Get fucking creative.
So let's talk about rules and relationships.
Mm.
Because I think there are rules. We're just kind of in this little lost world where we've never really established them, or there's no governing body that can establish rules in a relationship unless you are part of a religion,
mm-hmm.
unless you get married and then yeah. you break the rules and cheat on someone that's going against
break
the
your
rules.
Vows.
Yeah, and then you have to get divorced and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's definitely ways where there's cultures in which rules in relationships are actually firmly implemented.
Mm-hmm.
But they are also loosely implemented in regular society.
Yeah. People still cheat. People still break their mm-hmm. vows. Nothing happens to us.
And these rules are based off of, I believe, religious backgrounds, yes. right? I mean, yeah. that's how cheating was.
Which is interesting because the idea of marriage, it was for the man to have some level of control over the woman. When she's birthing his child, he had ownership of that. Then it turned into like more inheritance. Back then, wealthier families wanted to keep certain things within their family. Mm-hmm. So they arranged certain marriages and things like that.
If you take us back to our elementary school days when we were kids playing on the playground.
Yes, yes.
And you're let outside for recess and all the kids get together and we say, hey, like, why don't we play a game of tag?
Yeah.
The older kids, they explain the rules to them. They say, okay. You guys are on this team. You guys are on that team. If you get caught, this is what happens.
Yeah.
So Jimmy is
fucking Jimmy.
Jimmy is a rebel.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah, he's the rebel of the group. Jimmy's the first one tagged.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And he doesn't like that very much. So Jimmy, being the bully of the playground, says, uh-uh, doesn't count. You weren't standing on this ground. Da, 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 da. He makes up some other kind of scenario.
Right.
But he's lying, you know. Mm. Jimmy is considered a spoil sport.
Yeah.
He's broken the
rules.
He's
not a team player.
Yeah. He's broken the rules of the game.
Yeah.
You establish rules in a game because a game can only exist if your belief in the game exists.
If you're participating in it.
You have in order to participate in the game, you have to believe in the rules of the game. That's why they are established. Mm. Similarly, when you watch the Super Bowl, you are watching a game.
Yeah.
And so all of us collectively are believing in these made up rules of the game. Oh, he can't do that. He can't do that. That's offside. So when you come into a relationship, we have established a set of rules. They are unwritten rules for your participation in that relationship, for you to believe that the other person is in love with you. They have to follow a set of rules. And if they deviate from them, that equals they are not in love with you. That equals they are not respecting you because we've established these unwritten rules. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it comes down to. You're not going to go to jail if you cheat on someone, but you are considered the spoil sport of the relationship. You are banished from the relationship.
People stay in relationships and they break the rules.
Yes.
So that, yeah.
But it, so taking it back to this game of tag, what does that game become if Jimmy is allowed to right? Then the next time someone's tagged and,
well,
then,
no.
Right.
So,
and then
social psychology comes in because what happens.
Oh, no, you're Jimmy.
Because what you're happens Jimmy. Is when the rest of the folks don't want to play with Jimmy, Jimmy's outcasted. So everyone says, no worries, Jimmy. You don't want to play. You don't play properly. We don't want to play with you. So Jimmy goes in the corner, doesn't have any more friends because he didn't play by the rules. Right? Or Jimmy says, oh, shit. That's fine. He learns or is forced.
Or Jimmy gets to stay in the game. They accept it. And that, but you've just, but that's the scenario in which you've stayed, you're staying with a cheating person.
It's not the same.
You've,
but you're talking about a group. This is why it's a social psychology. There's a difference between two people. There's a difference between five people.
But
the minute you're in a group, it's very, very different than when you're.
But what if those five people want to be friends with the popular guy, Jimmy? They don't want to go against it. I'm just saying there is a scenario in which people stay and that game becomes toxic. Ultimately. That is the outcome.
Or the game just ends.
Yeah, because really, then someone's crying because then it's not fair. And
well,
da, da, da.
Yeah. Jimmy says, it becomes a toxic. This is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't want to play.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not chasing you. So then the other kid is like, yeah, it is stupid. And then they find another game to play.
Yeah.
Fine. That's part of social.
That's the outcome.
But that's
when
fine.
You stay in a toxic relationship. It's you staying in that game of tag with Jimmy,
but
who tried to skirt the rules.
No, but he, okay, hold on. No, because you, it's not, Jimmy hasn't done anything to hurt anyone. Jimmy is simply saying,
Jimmy's being selfish.
But Jimmy is saying, I don't want to play. This is not how I want to play.
Hold on. Why are you defending Jimmy?
I'm not defending.
Why are you defending Jimmy?
I'm not defending Jimmy.
Jimmy behaves selfishly.
That's fine.
And that is a negative outcome. That is being.
But Jimmy, up to that point, Jimmy hasn't been selfish. Jimmy is selfish when he continues to ruin the rest of the game.
Okay, but you can't. Okay, so then if my boyfriend cheats on me, are you going to just say to me, okay, but only up until that point?
No, because think about the action itself, right? I also want to say that there's a difference between a 6-year-old playing tag and someone cheating. Like, your sense of morality changes, your sense of...
Well, I mean, we can argue that.
Yeah, that's true. But like, hopefully, immature. Ideally, hopefully, your level of awareness changes. Because at that age, you're still trying to figure the world out, right? At 5. Like, by world, I don't mean life. I mean like your little 5 people world. But there's a difference between someone saying, I don't want to be tagged, versus someone committing an act that is hurting the person they supposedly love. It's like your partner saying, I don't want pizza, when you're like, I want to have pizza for dinner tonight.
I understand they're different degrees, but you're still hurting the playtime of the other kids in that game, because he's just gone and burst everyone's bubble that believes in that game. Everyone's like, oh, like, imagine, remember that feeling when you're playing Monopoly with your family and things get a little too serious?
Okay, so the perfect example I can give you is you're really, really excited to go to a new restaurant with your partner. And your partner is the grown-up version of Jimmy. You're excited to do this thing. You guys have 2.5-3 hours of just couple time. And your partner is just being grumpy. That's a more equal comparison.
I'm willing to bet that Jimmy, who thought he was above the rules of tag, is also the guy that cheats. But
okay. Yeah. I am not going to argue with.
But I will say this. I will say this. Is what you've done is you've brought up a very good argument. Because I actually wrote this in a philosophy thesis in my college days. What is cheating? I was trying to unpack cheating.
Ooh.
And you've brought up a good argument in the sense, and I know you weren't actually trying to vouch for cheaters to make an argument for them, but this, it should be a conversation, because a lot of people do say once a cheater, always a cheater. I don't believe that is the case. I believe there should be some forgiveness. And I think what you've done is you're making that argument for there needs to be some room for conversation around rules that we've established, because we need to understand that these rules have been established based off of other things that may not have made complete sense. And now we have evolved as a society, and we realize that as human beings, we may not be as made out as we once thought we were for monogamous relationships.
Time out. I do not believe human beings were meant to be monogamous.
And so, there's lots of books on this. I mean, we can only theorize on this, but we haven't read those books.
Well, no.
But there are lots of actual conversations being had around this.
Yeah, it's...
And that does need to be brought...
It's not a natural thing.
Yeah,
it's been something that's been systematically fed to us, and fine, but this goes back to exactly what you said. And earlier when you were talking about relationships and there's rules for a relationship, my thought on it is no, there aren't rules for relationships. The only rules are the ones you and your partner create together as a unit. That is it. Ladies, ignore the talk you hear in the background. Ignore all the crap that comes in your head about what should be the right relationship. Men, ignore all the noise of what should be your perfect relationship. It is whatever you and your partner decide it is. There are some people who say marriage is not for us. These are part of our rules. The idea of having a piece of paper doesn't apply to us. That works for them. But circling back to the beginning of this podcast, you have to be authentic. Mm-hmm. We were doing a live last week and someone brought up polygamous relationships, polygamy, and like, my wife is this. And it's like, well, does it work for you? Are you happy? It's not for me, but if it makes you happy and also everyone else involved in your relationship, whatever. But be true to yourself, mm-hmm. right? And I think this is where we seem to find difficulty, because we're going in hoping so bad that we meet this perfect person. Meanwhile, we're setting ourselves up for failure right from the beginning.
Rules can inhibit creativity in a lot of different scenarios. Yeah. And in relationships, they can inhibit your authentic self seeing the other person's true authentic self, mm-hmm. which is what I try to look for now. When I sit down and have a conversation with a new person, I'm just trying to see who they are. I'm not trying mm-hmm. to interview them on what they did in their last relationship. Were you a cheater? Mm-hmm. How did you treat this person? I'm just trying to get to know and read them and understand, are they a person who cares about me? We've talked about this a lot in the last week. Mm-hmm. Really thinking about your last few dates, thinking about your last relationships, and how much did the person actually care about learning about you?
Like, how much do they actually care about me as a person?
Yeah. Think about the conversations you have with this person. Mm-hmm. Were they reciprocating your conversations just because you asked the question? Mm-hmm. Hey, I went to school here. Where did you go to school? Mm-hmm. Da-da-da.
Or like, this is the kind of things I like to do on a day-to-day basis. This kind of person I am. And
how interested in you are they really? I think that's something that I have really ignored in the past, because I have been interested in the other person. And so I just ignore the fact that they aren't really that interested in me as a person. And then when I sit back and think about it after all those failed dates and relationships, I'm like, oh, they didn't really ask me to expand on this, or they never really followed up when I brought this up. Mm-hmm. And that's something I would be really interested in about them.
Right. Like, if they brought something up about an experience they had, you would have follow-up questions. Yeah. You would want to learn more.
I want to learn more about their perspective on it. Yeah. And that's the best indicator you can have about whether or not someone's actually going to love and respect you. Mm-hmm. Are they interested in you?
Yeah.
And that is probably one of the easiest things to tell if you open your eyes.
Yeah. As a kid, the rules in the household is to be kind, is to be helpful, is to be yourself. These are also rules, right? It's to go to bed at a decent time because it's important for our bodies to get rest. These are rules that you can follow. You can still have growth within them. But if the rules are simply there for control. So like, if you're in a relationship, let's say, and you're going back to rules, it's if he doesn't call me at least once a day, or if he's not texting with me all day. You know, I was talking to a girlfriend. She's like, yeah, he barely texts me. I'm like, okay, but she's like, well, he has like a crazy job, and like, he'll send me a couple messages here and there. And then he always calls me in the evening. We have like a 2-hour chat. I'm like, girl, that's amazing. She's like, yeah, but I wish like he was better at communicating. I'm like, but his way of communicating is, that's what he's telling you. Like, create a new set of rules that's within what you like and within what he likes. If you like to have a few check-ins during the day, just communicate that to him. That's your new set of rules with him. And he can, you know, work on it a bit. Sometimes we get caught up in he hasn't done this or she hasn't done this. And
yeah, people come into relationships with that.
Yeah.
But then they also establish rules later on in relationships based mm-hmm. off of their insecurities from either past relationships or insecurities that are being built yeah. in
so
that
like
relationship.
You can't go on boy trips anymore because you have a girlfriend now.
You can't do a Vegas
bachelor trip because you're married now.
That's only going to create a toxic relationship because it's not being authentic.
Yeah.
You're not getting really to the root of the problem, which is that you don't trust this person. Clearly.
Yeah.
So you need to address that first. And mm-hmm. sometimes that is addressed through establishing some rules, but you both have to be on board with it. It has to be a very, it has to be a two-way street.
It's
it
mutual.
Can't be, yeah, you saying, no, this is the way or I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm. That can't be ultimatums.
Yeah.
It can't be forced because going back to if you're forcing someone to follow the rules, two things are going to happen. Either they're going to follow it and just resent you, or they're just going to find a way to do it behind your back. Mm. Think of when you were a kid and your mom was like, you can't have that candy. You'd be like, you grow up and you're craving that candy for the rest of your life. Or you found a way to sneak it in.
I'll always remember this one bad thing I did as a kid. I don't know if it's the only bad thing I did as a kid.
Oh my God, you're such a goody two-shoe. I did so many bad things.
It's the one bad thing I can remember. And I took paint, like an open paint can, took a paintbrush.
Yeah.
I guess my dad was like painting one of the rooms or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I painted a wall that should not have been painted. But I only painted like a couple swipes of it. And the paint clearly didn't match. And I remember my mom cornering me and asking me, did you do this? And I said, no. And
no.
Then the next day she asked me, did you do this? I asked your brother if he did it. He said no. And I said, nope.
Was it a one word answer? Like it was just a no?
Just no. And she asked me that question for years. She was relentless. And every single time I denied it. I denied it well into my teens. And we've never had the conversation since. But it's one of those things that I remember. And I'm not sure I remember it because she was just so relentless with her
questioning. Oh, that is so funny.
But yeah. And so to your point, I think the only reason I did this was because I was told that I couldn't participate in the painting mm-hmm. of the room. So
you're like, F you.
I had to take it upon myself. This was my first very rebellious
yeah, that's funny.
Thing. And for whatever reason, I just didn't like being told no at that point.
I hate, someone told me the reason I don't like authority is something to do with my childhood. Because I told someone it's funny because I've never been in actual trouble, but I always find a way to get out of trouble. I get in trouble, but I always find a way to get out of it. Like I've been pulled over. I've been in accident. I just find a way to wiggle myself out of it. Principal's office, wiggle myself out of it. But I like testing. I like testing people. So the minute you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to be like, wait, I'm going to find a way to do it. And not only am I going to do it, but I'm going to make sure there's no consequences for me.
Yeah.
Because I also don't like consequences.
Yeah. My rebellious side has morphed a little bit in my adulthood, but I definitely have one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I rebel when someone forbids me from doing something. Mm-hmm. It's more when someone puts me in one box and they say like, yeah, you're good for this. Like you would be a really good mother. Mm-hmm. And they like don't see me as like a sexual person.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'm going to rebel.
Right.
That's when I'm going to be like, oh, you don't see me as that? Oh, okay.
Right.
Oh, you're going to see me
as that.
So
it's more about like a image thing.
Yes.
Than, right.
Yeah. I don't like being
pigeonholed.
Do I speed?
You speed?
I do. I have gotten numerous tickets.
That's a rule breaking.
Okay,
do you pay your bills on time?
I pay every single bill on time.
Do you pay it the day of or do you pay it a week before?
Way before.
Oh, okay. You're good.
Yeah, I'm very diligent with that.
Have you ever been late for class?
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Have you ever skipped school?
In university, I skipped classes.
Oh,
yeah.
Then uni doesn't count.
Yeah, but no, I never skipped school.
Oh, wow, girl. You were good.
I was a goody-goody.
You were a goody. Yeah. Here's the thing. This is an art, and this is how I want my kids to be, because I was like this, and I'm like, I'll let you be like this. I did a lot of things in high school. Uni doesn't count, because mm-hmm. uni, really, there's no one who holds you accountable. You just do your first semester and be like, oh, shit, I need to get my shit together, and you either do or you don't. You are your own responsibility, and you have to be an adult. But in high school, skipped multiple classes. And I was on the student council. So I would always lie and be like, oh, I had to do something for student council. And I was also in many different sports. So I'd be like, oh, there was I was captain of a couple teams. So I was like, oh, I had to have a coaching session. I would just say whatever I wanted. And because I was also an A student, they were like, oh, it's fine.
So now I know for sure that you were the popular girl.
I just got student council.
Oh, yeah, you're the popular girl.
I was student council. I was athlete. So, and you know, when you're an athlete in a high school, they're just like, do whatever you want.
Like, you and I would not have been friends in high
school. We would have been friends.
Nope.
We would have been friends.
No. You know exactly who you were? You're the girl that would have walked out of my high school and said, oh, yeah, no, I'm friends with Cynthia. And I saw it very differently.
What do you mean?
You thought you were friends with everyone. You were that popular girl.
Oh, no. I wasn't friends with everyone.
The losers know differently.
No. I wasn't
friends. Trust me, as a loser.
First of all, I don't think you were a loser.
I was a loser.
No, I don't think you were a loser, because the way you described it, you were like artsy. And I also was artsy.
I know, exactly. That's what the popular kids, they do. They infiltrate everything.
I literally got an art award. Yeah, I was artsy.
Yeah, you're like, well, I'm nice to Cynthia, so we must be friends.
No.
I'm telling you, you're that
no.
girl.
No. If I didn't like you, which...
No, but it's different. You're still above me.
No, girl. I was very clear. I was respectful to everyone. Yeah. I never bullied anyone, because I don't believe in bullying.
But you don't understand, to the lower class in high school.
But I was like, friendly with everyone.
Yeah, but friendly isn't friends. We wanted to be friends. We wanted to be on your level. And we weren't.
Was.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, we would everyone not have was. Been real friends.
Like,
whatever.
We wouldn't have eaten lunch together.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But that's, you know, that's when you're a kid.
Yeah, whatever.
No, because lunchtime is like for your best, like your bestie.
Yeah, to catch
up.
Yeah.
To almost be like,
all
ooh.
People in student council.
Or like if you're like, you have your, because I had a different boyfriend every year.
Yeah. You know when I've got my first boyfriend? After 20 years old, okay? I didn't have a freaking boyfriend in high school. No one wanted to date me because I was a loser.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
Okay. I think you were just probably a little bit more introverted. I think we would have been friends.
Yeah.
I feel like we would have.
Do you think kids need to go through a rebellious phase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think naturally you do.
You do.
And
yeah.
To be honest, I think one of the reasons, I'm going to blame my parents for this, one of the reasons I was probably more rebellious is because for some reason I was taught to be. Like, I was taught to think critically. Yeah. So if, like, I remember one of the first things that happened to me that I had to be critical or present my argument was a sleepover I wanted to go to. And my parents were like, well, we don't want you going. And I said, well, I want to go. And they said, okay, go upstairs, think about some of the reasons you think you should go, and then come downstairs and speak in a nice tone, because I was, you know, being a brat. And so at that moment, I was like, if I can talk my way into getting what I want, I'm set.
That's when you were born a hellraiser.
That was it. I was like, wow, I can negotiate my way. I didn't go, by the way. I didn't go. But my clever parents found a way to make me believe I was okay. I wasn't upset about not going. So,
well, we've learned a lot today.
Yeah.
I've learned that you were the bitch in high school.
But I really
we
wasn't.
We wouldn't have been friends. And the only reason we're friends right now is because I glowed up. So I became more acceptable to popular girls like you.
Oh, stop it. I will find someone from my high school to come and vouch for me.
Okay. Is it another popular girl? I'm sure she'll be pretty and looking down on me. Okay. Well,
absolutely not. If you honestly knew like what I was like, you would not say that.
Okay. All right.
So guys, the moral of the story is rules are made to be broken.
We need to end this on like a Rage Against the Machine quote, because they're really the like, F the rules, true. Right?
I can't get no.
How does that apply to this?
Because okay, just- that's rules. It's like, fuck the rules.
Oh, is it?
So I try and I try. I can't get no
satisfaction. Let's go break some rules, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
See ya.